think about electric cars that'll become mainstream by 2020, let's say, might even be sooner than that, the way they're talking. The workforce, jobs, well, they're going to disappear in the next 20 years. We've been talking about that on this show, lots of that program. What about agricultural robots that'll cost $100, just about cheap, nothing. You probably buy them at Walmart even. And they'll harvest the crops for the farmers and all, right? And what about an app? What do you think about an app that will tell if you're lying? God, I can use that one. I'll tell you, that one is going to be interesting. I'll hold that up to the people and say, all right, are you telling me the truth? Well, the underlying theme here, friends, is that futuristic technology is changing our lives by the moment, and quite frankly, the future is here. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. So what do you think about electric cars that'll become mainstream by 2020, let's say? It might even be sooner than that, the way they're talking. The workforce, jobs, well, they're going to disappear in the next 20 years. We've been talking about that on this show, lots of that program. What about agricultural robots that'll cost $100, just about cheap, nothing. You'd probably buy them at Walmart even. And they'll harvest the crops for the farmers and all, right? And what about an app? What do you think about an app that will tell if you're lying? God, I can use that one. I'll tell you, that one is going to be interesting. I'll hold that up to the people and say, all right, are you telling me the truth? Well, the underlying theme here, friends, is that futuristic technology is changing our lives by the moment, and quite frankly, the future is here. So if you have any doubts, buckle your seatbelt up, take a seat, relax, and you're going to learn a lot here in the next hour, because our co-host today, Sally Fernandez, joins us from Florence, Italy, and Aaron Morgart from the great city of Los Angeles. And we are talking technology and what is going on. And I think there's so much happening in this realm that people just are not really understanding. One thing I'll say about this, friends, is through this show of Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, I mean, I've been following this well before the show, but I've learned a lot since we've done this show about technology and the future and how much it's a part of our lives now, and how much it's going to be a part of our lives ahead, whether you like it or you don't like it. We're living in interesting times. Of course, you know that already. Well, let's talk a little bit of technology here and the future and what's going to happen. And I think one of the first things, ladies, is this car business, which we're starting to see a lot of the signs already, but these electric cars. Now, I'm hearing all kinds of things. In fact, one of the reports I just read recently, and we talked about, I think, on one of these shows, was that we did a show on jobs and the elimination of a lot of these jobs. And I think there was a lot of data behind the fact that truck drivers, that position will be gone. They just simply won't exist. Interesting. That they're going to have, it's all going to be delivered in the means of this self-driven mode. So I don't know, Sally, if these are going to be on tracks or they're going to be, I don't know. They've got to be on some sort of track, I guess. Well, they're robotic, so they can just find their ways on the road and drive to where you're going. Isn't that the idea of this concept, that they just drive themselves without tracks?
I believe so, if that's what we're talking in terms of the driverless cars.
Trucks, both, I mean.
I just think we have such a long way to go. And I know there are some predictions about electric cars will be kind of mainstream by 2020.
Right.
But there's a lot of other factors that people aren't looking at. And one of them is, first of all, these electric cars are heavily subsidized by the government.
The electric cars are?
Yes, right now.
Yeah.
So once you remove those subsidies, then it will go away.
You
I
mean the
mean,
price is going to escalate of them at that point?
well, actually, well, here's an example. Hong Kong slashed a tax break that was worth like $55,000 for their Tesla in April, and the sales have grounded to a halt. People just didn't buy it. And in Georgia, electric vehicle sales plummeted 80% the month after a $5,000 tax credit was repealed. But what people don't know is we, the taxpayers, pay for every electric car
So
on the
you're seeing
road.
the attraction, the new technology is attractive to a lot of people and it's priced right, so they try it. But when all that sort of dries up and it's no longer the cool little cute looking thing, it's not going to be so hot anymore, huh?
Exactly. And there's actually one other that I think is really important. The whole concept of this electric car was supposed to be for green energy, to get rid of climate change, pollution, and so forth. The problem is that the electric cars are only as clean as the electricity that propels them, because most of them get they plug in their cars at night. And they're getting it from coal-burning plants. So, you're driving these green cars, but they're not really green,
So in other
especially in
words,
the
two
Midwest stuff.
negatives don't always make a positive, do they, Sally?
Exactly. And there's a lot, so it ties into this whole energy thing. So we have a long ways to go.
I know you feel that way. I'm just hoping, Aaron, I just want to be here. I want to confess this right now to both of you. I want to be here on Earth when my car pulls up to my little penthouse in the sky, because I love living in the sky. I love the concept. So I want to be here when this little vehicle I'm going to drive or fly or whatever the hell it is pulls up to my penthouse in the sky, and the music's playing in the background, and it goes like this: Meet Malcolm out my home. No, 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 no. Maybe I'll be a star on a television show, Aaron Morgard. I don't know, but I love that show. The George Jetson thing. The what was that called? The Jetsons, right?
Jetsons. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Meet their son Elroy, right? I mean, that was you don't get those shows anymore, But I want to be here when that happens. Do you think there's any chance of that, Aaron, or what?
It depends on your philosophy. It depends on what you think. I think if that time comes, I hope I'm not here. I
You don't want
strongly
to be
believe.
here, Aaron?
Now, I believe that the existing times, I mean, what's going on in the world, I as a Christian, I believe that in my opinion, things are accelerating at such a pace that when that time does come, that you want to do that or you're able to do that. I don't, I think some of us won't, and you won't be here either, so.
Well, hold on now. I think that the Lord has been speaking to me recently, and I think I'm going to live to about 100 and between 105 and 110. I don't know exactly what. So I'm only halfway through yet. I'm still a young punk here, Aaron. So if I got that much time left, then I got a lot to see here, man. And
Well, that's true.
I don't think the world is going into a pothole as where a lot of people are predicting. I think we've been, Aaron, I want to say to you something here, and I know I as a Christian as well, we can all talk on this level. So let me say this. I know a lot of people believe the sky is falling and the world is going to this and we're in a pothole and all this. But I gotta, Sally, Aaron, let's be honest here. And everyone, just listen, just stop a minute. Take a look back at history. We've been in a pothole for thousands of years. I mean, we've been, if you listen, if you cycle back to every sector of life, we were crumbling. We were at the end of civilization. It's happened so many, and listen, I'm pretty convinced at this point that, I think it's going to happen when it happens, but they've been predicting this for thousands of years, and I don't think we should live our lives under that premise. And I still think there's some hope for humanity, and I'm not so sure God's done with this planet yet. So I'm not ready to give up, Aaron. I'm not ready.
Aaron talked from a religious standpoint, but I'm kind of going from, you don't like me to say I'm a pessimist because I'm supposed to be an optimist, but
Well, hold on.
George
Let's tell
Bernard.
well now let's tell the listeners what that means. It means that Sally by trait sometimes is pessimistic, because we love Sally. And so what I've tried to do is rub off on our dear friend here to say, no, we gotta be more optimistic. But you don't meet people out there. I'm an optimist, man. My glass is overrunneth. I'm overrunneth with all the good stuff here, ladies. Come on, Sally.
George Bernard Shaw said, an
I like him, by
airplane
the
was
way.
built, well, he said an airplane was built by an optimist and a parachute was built by a pessimist.
See,
So,
I
you
agree
know,
with that. I agree with that.
we all have our, so I, you know, it's kind of back up where Aaron, I think, was coming from, but I'm taking a different slant, not necessarily from religion. You know, we all think the internet's been around forever, but it's only been around 22 years.
Is it 20? Hold on, Sally. Is it 22?
1995 is when it was.
You know, I tried to think of that the other day, and I was saying 30 years, but it's not 30 then, huh?
No, it's in 1995. Okay. So, you know, we have this massive ability. It's grown exponentially, but the computer hacking has gotten worse and worse. And now all of a sudden, our personal security, terrorism are prime concerns that came with technological advances. So I love all this Jetson mentality in terms of what the future will look like. But we need to just, it needs to be evolutionary, not revolutionary. We need thoughtful rollout. We need to know because every consequence, you know, every action has a reaction. So some of these predictions, you know, for it happening 2020, that's 3 years from now.
But I like what you just said, Sally. Let's, what you just said, I want to remember what you just said because you said it so eloquently, which you always do. But we need to be evolutionary more so than revolutionary. Is that what you said?
Exactly.
That's kind of so, cool. Yeah.
Because so to push these green cars out before they can actually become green, and it's going to be a very, very long time before they become green, because it won't be until we run out of fossil fuels that we can really talk about, you know, zero emissions. And there are predictions that, you know, natural gas is going to be around for another 58 years, coal 118, oil 46. So we have to work, you know, the wind, the solar, the power, everything has to work in conjunction. But you've got people in the Midwest and you've got people in the South that are going to plug in their electric cars at night, and it's going to be mostly from coal burning fuel.
Well, I think your point, I think that things are going to be evolutionary. I think it is going to just be an evolution in the years ahead. Aaron, I don't think it's going to just like, I mean, it does kind of sort of feel like we just woke up one day and it's already started. It's like we're talking about this all the time now, and I'm not even sure why or what, and because it's happening all over the place. But I get it. I understand it. You know, I know we need to embrace some of it. I'm a little apprehensive, as probably a lot of you are, about some of it and where the deviousness is of some people behind some of it. I don't know if any of that makes any damn sense, Aaron, but I'm trying.
It makes complete sense to me. I understood every word that you said.
Well, I hope everybody did. But, you know, I'm saying I think there is going to be an evolution, Aaron. I think we are going to more evolve and evolve into a lot of this. I think some people are going to be a little panicked, but I think a lot of this is happening already. Some of it's really good. Some of it not so good, but you know, the old saying, you got to keep up with the times. And I remember my mother saying that many years ago to me when she was here as a young boy. And that was, my golly, that was almost nothing back then. If she's seen everything we were doing now, she'd about flip out, you know?
Well, this all, we're talking electric cars, but it ties into, you know, a subject near and dear to my heart, which is this whole climate change and what's real. So it's just this push for taxpayers to push and pay to give, for the government to give subsidies so everybody has an electric car, is not a reality until you find a means to actually be able to charge their batteries using green energy. And that's just not a reality, and it won't be a reality in the next 50 years, I don't believe.
Well, in my world, Sally, we have all kinds of energy. We have all kinds of energy. We're certainly energy dependent on ourselves only, not others. And all these things are viable. We can have a choice. Anything wrong with that world? Or
if I could plug my electric car into you, I would have no problem because it would run forever.
Forever. See, that's it. I got that Energizer
robot. That was a compliment.
I know it was. I've got that Energizer robot thing going on me. I know. Well, I don't know why that is. But yeah, I do. There is energy. Well, all right. So, Aaron, the thoughts of energy and what's ahead, which I know Sally is all over this topic and has done a lot of background on it as well. What is your premise? First of all, do you have a premise in your mind? I mean, in Aaron Morgart's world, do you have any premise on what we look ahead? I don't know, 5, 10, even just as little as 5, 10 years from now, which is not that far ahead, of what this whole energy thing looks like?
I do a lot of reading on what Elon Musk also is up to, and I think things will accelerate more rapidly within the next 2 years. And that really, that's my premise. That's my thought system.
Within the next 2 years, you think?
I think it's going to highly accelerate within the next 2 years.
So you think we're on the verge of some big things then?
Well, not only that, but I mean, Elon Musk just came out with a thought of creating an ark of some type to let us escape from the Earth. I mean, he just came out with that idea.
An ark that's going to escape with water or with the sky?
With the sky.
The sky, yeah. I'm reading so much. I thought you didn't like Elon Musk. Do you like him?
I do like his thought process. I think that some of the things that he is thinking about and wanting to do may have some very sinister...
Yeah, I see, that's it. You know, Aaron, we did a show with our co-host Ava Armstrong recently, too, and she thinks he's a nut job. I don't know if you remember that, but or who
yes.
was on that show, but she thinks he's a nut job and he hasn't done crack, you know, and done jack. I don't really know, but I do see him. I was on a show where I said I do see him in the future. Is that he looks sadly like one of those cats to me that's on a big screen with tens of thousands of people there. You heard me say that on a show probably, right? And it's like yes. Elon Musk is there. His face, he looks like one of those cats. His face is big. He said, "Welcome, humanoid people, to the Earth today. We have the new version of Tesla, version number 1380 today, and... this just works by osmosis. You don't even have to plug this in. It goes by your brain power, right? Or something, man. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a character out of the Hunger Games. That's exactly
exactly. He looks like that kind of a dude. I mean, I'd like to have a drink with him, but I don't want him to run my world, you know?
Look, I admire anybody who has a $15 billion net worth and he's failed ever since 1995 successively every year.
Sally, how does that happen? Take a minute for me because I am on the Elon Musk train of confusion. And I see a lot of this because I'm well read in this area and I understand. And so I see a lot of the things this cat is talking about and doing. And he's kind of been branded as the futuristic dude. But how is it that he has what you just said and put out there? How does he get away with that? I mean, what is it because they put him on a, like he's on a pedestal of some sort? And the guy is like, he knows less than you and I. And, you know, what the hell is that?
I have no idea. In fact, some of the predictions we're talking about today came from somebody, and I'm not sure where his credentials are because it's very strange. We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But, you know, Elon Musk, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, let me just say it this way. How does Al Gore continue to exist?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, he exists because he built a whole career out of this, as we've said.
I think that's what Elon Musk does.
You're right.
He's just had a lot of money, and he makes money, and he adds it into the next project, and he gets a lot of funding and a lot of support. And, you know, he rallies around the same kind of causes that Al Gore does. So, you know, they create these little cottage industries for themselves, and they make a bloody fortune, and then they take that fortune and they roll it into their next crazy idea.
Yeah, so you're kind of all over this thing now, and you think that these guys have a lot of devious means in them, then you're saying, Sally, huh?
I think initially, I don't know.
You don't really
know,
right?
Except the only thing I can assume is that they believe it, and they believe it in their soul, and then they found a way to make money on it. I don't know if later, you know, Al Gore gets proven wrong, but does he convince himself he's right, or does he say, oh, I got this great gig going, I might as well just roll it out as long as I can. I don't know what's in their mind. But, you know, it's like our ideology politically. You know, why does the left believe the way they do, and they think the way they do? It's almost like it's part of their DNA, and it's probably the same on the other side. So I don't understand how some people can believe the things that they believe with all honesty. So I guess I just question.
Well, which is why you, as an author and as a very successful author and novelist, you are, and you blend both worlds. I mean, you take, that's what makes your background so unique in the work that you do, which I just adore and love your work and your books. Your newest book, Climatized, is a phenomenon. And, but you kind of do that, but that's what you're supposed to do as an author, Sally. You question everything.
I mean, question everything.
I know. I tell you it's black, and you always tell me to prove it. I mean, so, you know, it's like, you know, that's, you're kind of made up that way to sort of question everything, and it's kind of an interesting place to be. But I don't think that's a bad thing that we're all questioning things these days, that we need to be, well, I always go by the theory, ladies, trust and then verify. I always felt that way in my life. That's just the way I've always been. I love people, exactly. I trust them, but I don't want to be burnt. And so I'm going to verify that that's accurate. And
exactly.
I think, because there's so many people with devious means out there and negativity and, you know, where greed takes hold. And I guess you realize that as you mature more, friends. That you realize that. You get to a point where you say, you know what, I'm not willing to go down that road anymore. Isn't that funny how we do that as we get a little older? We sort of say, you know what, I've had just about enough of these clowns. And I think there is something to that. And you get a little older and you just sort of say, okay, you know, I'm going to do it a little differently this time. Maybe you're a little more cautious, a little more conservative, they say. That's what they say as you get a little older. And there may be hope for humanity yet, friends. I think there is. I'm going to hold on that. And I'm going to ask you to hold there just a moment as well as we pause. We'll be right back with Erin Morgart and Sally Fernandez. We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. But we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And I am Sally Fernandez in Florence, Italy today. And I'm with Erin Morgart in Los Angeles and Malcolm Out Loud. And we've been talking about some pretty cool stuff about technology in the future and how it will change our lives. And we're going to talk about now about how there's a prediction that 70 to 80% of jobs will disappear in the next 20 years. But there will be new jobs, but it's just unclear about whether there will be enough jobs in the short term. And the first prediction, we were talking about electric cars, and now we're going to kind of talk about this workforce, came from a man by the name of Udo Golub. And he gave a speech at a Singularity University Global Summit in Germany. And he talked about regarding the rise and fall of industries. And this is kind of a premise of where he came up with these assumptions. I just want to say that he makes these assumptions, these futuristic assumptions, on a global level. So if you look at it from our top, we have to kind of specify in terms of, is it within the US? Is it happening? Will it happen by 2020, 2030? Because in China, India, Russia, it's a whole different story. So Golub basically is saying that technology will create new jobs in a new industry, but it's not clear that there will be enough jobs. So remember, everybody, remember back with Kodak, 1998,
right,
where they sold all of the photo products. And then a few years later, they went bankrupt, even though the invention of the digital camera was in 1975. So nobody saw it coming. So kind of talking in terms of those jobs.
Well, you know why, Sally? That's a phenomenal point. And you know why? Because to succeed today, if you both agree with me or not, but you have to be a disruptor.
Exactly.
Yeah, you
You have to
understand.
change the way of thinking, the way of doing things.
Erin, you agree with that?
I can't help but agree. You have to be a disruptor. So I'm sorry, Malcolm. I am going to say yes, I agree, despite
Well, no,
what
that's a
you're
good
saying.
one to agree on, though, because you're right.
Well, I think so. You have to be that
Well,
way.
you that's so let's look at that a minute because this is important. There are a lot. If you look back over history now, you can look back at some of the early automobiles. There's a lot of them. You can look at the Blockbuster video store. The Kodak is a beautiful example that Sally you put out there. So here's the key, friends. So it's those companies and those organizations, in order to push the boundaries, you have to do what hasn't been done before. This is actually the core of innovation. What we're speaking about right now is the core essence of innovation, and it's really the core of the future and what's happening with a lot of these technologies. So here's the thing. So when we say a disruptor, you have to get in and you have to do it a little bit different. You have to be, almost where people start to look funny at you. And they say, well, and no matter what you say about someone, a cat like a Musk, and I don't, whether he has done anything or not done anything, he professes to be a disruptor. And he professes to be, and that's probably where the media has picked up on that. If they are not paying attention, if they are not really keeping up with what's going on and beyond that, if they're not thinking, totally outside of the lines of where they would normally think, they're going to find themselves in a very bad position ahead. And that's where complacency comes in. If you are complacent as a career person or a business, you're in a heap of trouble ahead because that's not where the future is. The future is not for complacent people. The future is not for those people, friends. The future is for people who are going to push the boundaries, going to rock the boat, as I always say, rock the canoe just a bit, going to disrupt, and they're going to make things uncomfortable. And I understand what that means. You got to sometimes make the environment around you a little uncomfortable to be able to get people to think outside of those lines, because there's a whole lot to this, I'm telling you. But had Kodak done the right thing back there, Sally, had they been on top of that, had they not been laxed, had they not put blinders on their eyes and gone to sleep at the wheel, for God's sakes, they would own it all. And it's the same thing with video, the Blockbuster. Blockbuster and Wayne Huizenga down in Miami here, he would own Netflix. They should be the net. They should have been the Netflix. You understand? They would have owned that. They would
Exactly.
have predicted all that, but they didn't.
Exactly.
Netflix came out of nowhere, and everybody thought they were going to fail. That model is going to fail, and look what
Well,
they're doing.
they need to change their business model and, like you said, the way of thinking. In terms of big disruptors, I mean, here's a big disruptor. It would be Watson, IBM's Watson. So using the artificial intelligence,
Right.
they say now, you can go to Watson and you can get legal advice with about 90% accuracy compared to attorneys, which are 70%
Is that
accurate.
like LegalZoom, Sally?
Well, IBM Watson is the artificial intelligence. So there have been, it's being used
Okay.
vastly in very areas.
Okay.
So it's not LegalZoom. LegalZoom is just a soft, an online
No, I
system where you
understand.
can
I
go in and
understand
get,
that.
but
Right.
this is where you can actually go and get advice. So in the future, we don't need generalist lawyers, we need specialists. And here's another example of Watson. Watson helps nurses diagnose cancer 4 times more accurately than doctors.
Absolutely.
So this is where artificial intelligence is really going to
Well, that's where they
change the
aid man. Yeah,
jobs.
that's where they aid mankind, right, Shelley? I mean, but the way people are talking lately, they're pushing this AI even further than just that world. They're thinking they're going to do it all somehow, or like crazy stuff I'm reading, It's insane.
Oh, it is. I mean, they're predicting, what's one of them? Something about your iPhone will be able to, well, I think we're going to talk about that later on the moods, but it kind of brings into that whole artificial intelligence. But it's all about changing your model. And this Udo Golub, who made these predictions, he said basically you have to think of a niche you want to enter and then ask yourself, in the future, do you think we'll have it? And if the answer is yes, you need to make it happen a lot sooner.
A lot sooner. Yeah, I believe that's true. I mean, I can see where you get on the edge of that. It's I understand this, Sally, all too well. And as you and I've talked about, you know, even off the record, Sally, that I mean, you know, not to be a funny guy here, but that's kind of a lot of the things we're doing on this platform. We're a disruptor in the media, in this whole media world, Sally, in the industry. You understand? You know,
exactly.
We've been doing that at America Out Loud, which, you know, people sometimes, some of the industry ones, they get nervous when they see people like us and what we're doing and our platform is blowing up and all the things we're doing. But we created new space. We were the we're a future media company. That's what we are. And that's what everybody knows. And that's what's so unique about what we're, and we're doing things that haven't been done before. So I totally get this theory of, you know, disruption and taking it further than where the others are at. And that's why I don't care what, I don't really look, I don't base my world on what other people are doing, Sally. I don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I wonder what such, I don't really care what, I don't follow them, you know?
I think that the disruptor are the people who are coming up with this ingenuity. And, you know, technology is going to be great. And it just, I just, you know, worry about the way we do it and the rollout and the implications. But you can look at the fact that he predicts in 2020, 70% of all humans will own a smartphone. Now, once you have a smartphone, you have an education. You know, every kid in every undeveloped country can get onto Khan Academy. Everybody can get on and learn a language and learn English. I mean, there'll be apps for everything. Our whole world will be using a smartphone.
Everything's an app.
Everything will be an app.
I mean, they're talking about, you know, the people are going to have sex with a robot. So you can see what's going to happen there. You're going to open up the app, ladies, and you're going to say what kind of sex you're looking for. You're looking for rough and tumble, gentle kiss, or you're looking for a kick in the ass. Which one is it? And then the robot and then the robot's coming over, and you know what happens next.
The good news is you can hit the button and end the app.
You hope, unless that robot starts to slap you back in the head, and then you're in trouble, Sally.
That's,
you know,
true. It's like,
well, see, that's another prediction he's making.
I know.
Is that robots will be smarter than humans.
Well, he's saying, if you believe this Musk guy, he's saying we're not even going to be here in 50 years. He's saying the robots are taking this whole thing over, if you all believe this dude.
I don't believe that.
He says we're coming extinct. We're going to not be here. I've got the articles. They're in my Flipboard on the robots are coming. Just go to Flipboard. Look up Malcolm Out Loud, and I got a ton of magazines on there you'll love. I put a lot of data, I love reading this stuff. I love reading everything, but it's in there. I got stuff on there right now, Sally, and that's what he says. He predicts that they're going to put us out of business, the human species. And then and then I scratch my head and I say, okay, so now let me get this straight. So this Elon Musk dude, who's controversial and edgy to begin with, okay, so he's on the edge of doing all these, you know, crazy things, ladies, right? Okay, got it. And now he says they're going to put, like, the human species out of our misery. And yet, okay, and yet he's creating all of it so that they can, what, do that exactly? So he's definitely one of those cats you're going to see on the large screen. He may already be, you know... I think Musk, I'm going to tell you right here what I really think. I'm going to start this rumor right now because that's a true rumor. Is there such a thing? Is that an oxymoron, Sally Aaron, when you say true rumor? That's an oxymoron, right?
No, fake news these days, there can be an untrue rumor.
All right, fair. Yeah, I've been corrected. I still think, all right, so if this is a true rumor, I think Musk is already part a humanoid. He is part, if we pull him in and we take a look at his body right now, dollars to donuts, ladies, he's got parts in him. He's part AI already. He's got robotic parts in him. I think he's from another place, another planet somewhere, and he's been planted here by others. Are you buying this at all?
I was waiting for Aaron to roll in.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it. You think he's totally human?
Well, no. I'm going to change my theory. Honestly, the way he looks, that alone, he looks robotic.
Right.
And he talks robotic. And again, I just that whole visual makes me feel that as if they actually created him to be as you would say, disruptive in our society, and also fail in his business concepts, ideas, and But he's still trying to go at it, and
Well, that's but that's a that that means wait a minute. That what we're pointing out right now, though, if you're failing at something and then you fail again, you keep going. That's called success. I mean, that's my story. That's I'm cool with that. I don't have any problem with this guy being a schmuck. I don't have any problem with him failing. I don't have any problem with that. That's called America. That's capitalism. That's free enterprise. That's life. That's the good
that's
stuff,
true.
man. Yeah, I'm all over that. But that still doesn't explain why he's. I still think he's got robotic parts in him. That still doesn't explain that. I think he's from another planet. Sally, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say that I want to see the movie Planet of the Robots before we are extinct, because I mean, it reminds me of Planet of the Apes, you know, and it's kind of the whole concept. But I think as humans, I think we're intelligent enough to not make computers that are more intelligent.
No, I don't know.
That will
speak
take
for
us
yourself.
Over.
There are a lot of crazy people out there, Sally. Speak for yourself. Sally, if you'll write a book about the robots are coming, did you say? Was that the name of it?
Well, yeah, it's like reminding me of Planet of the Apes.
Robot,
so I said,
the,
you know,
Planet
Planet
of the
of
Robots.
The Robots.
All right, so why don't you do a movie, the Planet of the Robot, a movie. Do a novel, because now your the climatized book is going to become a movie. We can tell people that, can't we?
Yes, we can.
So Sally's latest book, by the way, did I tell you this, Erin?
I believe it came up before.
All right, cool, cool. Well, it just happened, so then you're on the in. And so if you don't know that out there, her book, Climatize, has just been accepted. It's going to be a movie. So this is, I told you people right along, you didn't believe me, that we have some very important people on this show. You kept looking
Absolutely.
At me like I was full of shit. You know, now you know the truth, you see? Sally's going to be a movie, what
producer.
Do you call it? A movie producer, originator phenomenon, yeah. Now, Sally, when you do the novel for the robots there, the Planet of the Robots, do that and work me into the script so I can be the Musk of the future and I can be the cat. I can do that. You can take my hair, spike it up more. We'll do more of a bleach white. Of course, I bleach it white now, but I'll bleach it even brighter white or something.
Okay.
And I'll be the guy on the screen. And I would love to play that part. That I would, because I've been destined to do a couple of movies in my life. I had a couple of offers a while back, a couple of movies they wanted me to do, you know? But I didn't like the scenes, and I didn't like what they had me doing, because they were using a lot of vocabulary and a lot of stuff that wasn't really stuff I wanted the kids to see, you know? And
well, you have to wear a blue vest.
A blue vest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm digressing, you know, the Black Lives Matter guy.
Exactly. Well, keep going. I was going to, all right, keep going. Keep going. Let's see how deep that hole is, please. Go ahead.
I just want to see.
But if you'll do that novel, I'd love to have a part of you say that, and I could be the, you know,
Elon Musk.
I got that in me. I just got that in me. And I'll be the Musk of the future. I'll be, I'm Mr. Musk here, you know, and so humanoids of the planet here. Listen, this is our agenda for today. I want to read to you the scripture. This is the scripture of what we call God-anoid. God-anoid. Let me tell you what God-anoid says today. And this is what God-anoid says. And by the way, we have a new breakfast cereal you need to eat, and we have a new car you need to drive or fly, or it depends if we're in the Jetsons. Well, we're going to be in the Jetsons era, obviously. You're not going to drive, you're going to fly. I'm kind of looking forward to the flying stuff. I know that scares the hell out of you, Erin, but I kind of like the flying thing. I'm all into the George Jetsons thing, you know, meet George and meet Malcolm, and I just want to be in that world, Erin. Nothing wrong with that. You know, it's what I see my future
nothing
as.
Wrong with that.
You know?
No, there's not.
And I'm going to have that robot dog that comes over, Erin. The robot dog, and he doesn't pee on the floor at all. They're like, and they don't have to go out and be house trained because they don't do potty. You know, they're no.
That's a good point. That's an excellent.
That is not going to be fun, friends. I mean, who wants a robot dog? You know, I read a story the other day that I think Erin, you were on that show, and I forget what we were talking about, but it was the Roombas who clean the rooms. Remember, Erin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the dog went potty on the floor, and the Roomba picked up the potty and spread
and
it all over the house, Sally. So this is what you would be called cleaning with feces. Not a good program. Keep that thought in your minds, friends. We'll be right back in a moment with Sally Fernandez and Erin Morgan. I'm telling you, we are 6666. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutloud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are back with you here. It's Malcolm Out Loud. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We are joined with our co-host today. Sally Fernandez joins us from across the big pond there in Europe. And Aaron Morgart from the West Coast or Left Coast, depending how you look at it here in the States. This show could not have been the success that it is without these extraordinary women. Please go and look at the show page at Life Liberty. Just look up at the menu, the show page, Life Liberty, right off the top menu at AmericaOutloud.com. On there, you'll get all of the websites for these extraordinary women. You'll get their websites and a little bit more about them. They're very accomplished, very successful, extraordinary, highly opinionated. And that's it. This is what the show is all about. We have opinions. Sometimes you agree, sometimes you don't agree, but we always bring it to a head and want to leave you with a positive thought in your life. That's why I think it's kind of cool, ladies. We're doing something with this show that's not really being done in the media at all, because we're talking from different vantage points, because we got people from the left, people from the right, and people from other planets, you know? And we're able to talk through all that and come to sort of a quasi, you know, understanding, if you will, and leave people with a little hope at the end of the day. And I think that's been the goal of this show, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I believe so.
It's been good, Aaron. I've enjoyed it, and it's been a real learning process for all of us. So again, thank you for being part of this, and check out the ladies and more of the stuff they're doing there, please. And continue to watch some of the interesting topics over the next few weeks as we begin to round our last final shows on this platform. It has truly been a success. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. And in the pursuit of technology right now, and in the pursuit of the future, and we have to pursue the future, friends. If we don't pursue the future, who's going to? Who do we leave it up to, right? I mean, we can't leave it up to Al Gore and Elon Musk. We'll be screwed. I mean, we have to pursue the future here. It's up to us. It's up to you and I. It's up to us people. You know what I mean? It's like we used to say, it's up to us. We got to do it. We got to do it. I love that when you said that New York comes out. You got to do it. We're going to do it, Sally. You know what I'm saying? So we're doing it. So talk to me on this future here. And what I'm fascinated, I want to start with this app. Now, this is an app that I think can revolutionize politics. Now, why would I say that? Well, the app is called the Moody app. Moody. M-O-O-D-I-E, I believe. And this thing will tell your facial expressions. So it will be able to tell your facial expressions if you're lying or if you're telling the truth, I guess, or if you're happy, sad, or just a phony. Would be a hell of a sales tool to have in your bag to pull out and see what that prospective customer's thinking, I guess. But imagine if we used this before the politicians took office, ladies. Wow. And imagine if we made them do all this, that we could tell if they were lying or not. This could, like, totally change everything, because it would tell us things that we would never know otherwise. How does that work? How do you see that working with this Moody's app? And is there some truth to this? Do you think this app isn't here yet? Sally, do you know, I know you know a little bit about this app. This app's not here yet, right? But it's going to come? Is that what they're saying? Or?
Okay, actually, the app is here.
Oh, it is
here. It's called Moody's. Yeah, and it
okay.
was developed in 2013.
Okay.
But the app right now only takes your voice and your intonation and can tell whether what your mood is. But what they're saying is that by 2020, that this app will also be able to deal with your facial expressions. Now, something that's kind of interesting is I was using the app as I was telling you that. It came back and he just said, my mood for my highest point is friendly communication.
Okay. So if I get the app and use it on the show here, I could tell a little bit about what you all are saying, and right? Is that
exactly.
what you're saying?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Now here's what they did in 2000, wow. Well, back when the President Obama had his second debate with Romney.
Right.
they were using this app and testing it out based on their voice, on Obama's voice.
Uh-oh.
And it came back as conflict between emotional response and attempt to appear in control, judgmental and unforgiving.
Wow.
Is that neat?
Sounds like my first wife.
Now, what they're also projecting is that...
Actually, I don't have a first wife, so scratch that, will you, Your Honor?
But they're saying that they could use it for, like, iPhone, where you could automatically, they would pick up your mood and match the music to your mood, which is kind of cool.
Well, that I see. That I can do. Well, even now, my son, we'll be in a restaurant somewhere or somewhere out, and they'll be playing a song, and he opens up mm-hmm. the app that tells you what the song is, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then he always plays this thing with me, Dad, guess who this band is? Like he knows, like in the 60s, who was singing it, you know? And you just want to kill him, the little brat, you know? At 13 years old, he's trying to outsmart me with stuff that he shouldn't possibly know, Sally. How fair is that?
Well, they always know more than we do.
Exactly. So he then tries to tease me with it, Aaron. He'll say like, well, what song is that, Dad? I don't remember that song. I mean, I remember the song, but I don't remember who sang it. I don't remember that stuff. It's not important to me. And I remember things that are important to me, like things that are important to me. And that's not one of them.
And that is important.
I remember years ago, everybody was into Trivial Pursuit, and
right.
then you go to bars and you have
right.
Trivial Pursuit games. You don't hear about that anymore.
No, you don't.
You don't.
Well, like the doctor asked me in a recent appointment I had, in a very rare moment I was with a physician, and he asked me, well, now tell me, you know, what your family had, your mother's mother, your mother and your mother's mother and your father's 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 and your, you know, back to the Planet of the Apes days, you know, and do they have this, they had that. I said, I don't freaking remember, doctor. What do you think, I know this stuff? I barely know what I had last week. You want me to tell you what the family had? I don't know. Don't ask me. I can't answer you because I don't know. I don't pay attention, you know. And he looks at me, he says, we need to know this stuff. They, you know, they want you to fill out that 10-page form when you walk into the office, you know, ladies, right?
Yes.
Who had this, who had that? I just go down and check them all. No, I didn't have anything.
Malcolm, I just used the Moody on you.
And what did it say? Being provocative, pain in the ass. Go ahead.
It's a conflict between feelings and reality.
Exactly. So keep that thing rolling and see what else it says. Let's keep it going. I think it's going to say a lot of shit here just ahead.
Oh, Lord.
All right. So now, and so this Moody thing is listening to me. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So let's keep going
wanna,
here.
I don't even want to know what mine is.
Well, let's be sincere or not and see what Moody's says. It's going to tell you what kind of mood you're in. Well, Moody's, we're looking for world peace, and we're looking for a phenomenon of technology that can help us live a more fulfilling life. And that's where some of this technology can do that. Sally, when you started looking into this world of the technology, and you started looking at a lot of these things, what's the biggest aha moment you had in all of this? Because I know you researched this thing pretty good. What's the biggest aha moment?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we started off with, you know, how I question everything. And so we looked at the electric cars and we talked about the jobs being displaced. But I was kind of really excited about this agricultural robots that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because the farm industry itself always has a labor shortage. And even since, I think, 1900s, 41% of the workforce was employed by agriculture. And now in 2000... it's down to like 4%. I mean, it's really, so you really need.
Don't they hire a lot of illegals too? Don't they hire a lot of illegals in there?
Well, they're going to be less and less.
Isn't that the problem though? Yeah.
But see, the robots work in tandem because they have machines where, you know, the robots cut the lettuce and it goes in the conveyor belt and then the workers have to peel off the bad, you know, leaves and everything. But what it does do is because we're going to outlive our food supply if we don't find ways to increase it because of the population. So I think this whole agriculture robots are really going to really change the way we do things. It's going to increase productivity. It's going to be able to sustain our food supply. And another interesting thing is that because of the technology that's behind it, It may bring younger people who have left the farm because of the hard work and everything, bring them back. And young farmers will be, you know, controlling their ArcBox by their app on their phone. So, I mean, from that perspective, I thought that's a really positive way of using technology.
Well, when you talk about the technology and the way you're talking about it too, Sally, that's to say that, you know, technology may solve a lot of other problems in our society, like the fact of immigration, illegal immigration and legal immigration, because a lot of the positions that illegal immigrants go after, one of them is agriculture, because, you know, you don't need to be specialized or have schooling to be able to pick crops and that sort of thing. It's a very simple job, you know. I mean, you just have to know how to pick whatever it is you're picking off the plants, or they show you how to do it, or what have you. And there's been noted, it's been documented, that there are a lot of illegals working in that particular industry. Now, maybe with the case that you're going to be able to get these robots, from what I understand here, Sally, it says you've got to be able to get these robots for like $100, right?
I think that's probably, he's predicting in 2020, but I think that's going to be down the road, because it ultimately will be a cost factor, and there's a lot of political, you know, involvement that's going to have to take place. But the technology's there. It's just a question of how to make it affordable.
How to make it affordable. Like everything. It starts to be, it's like when you're the first one in line to buy something and you pay through the nose, right?
Exactly.
It's very expensive, but then just wait a little bit. Now, I'm not usually the first one in line because I don't want to, first of all, I don't stand in line for anything. I'm not a line kind of person. I don't, that's kind of the rat syndrome, I call it, and I don't want to be a rat. And I don't want to pay through the nose either, so I'm too cheap for that. So I'm not going to spend like $5,000 on something that should cost like $200 just because I'm the first one to have it. That's kind of sick, isn't it?
I don't know about that. I like to have the first of what's coming out. And I have been one of those people who, I haven't stood in line, but I have been pretty close to, you know, getting it first, like the Apple Watch.
Now, would you stand, in line for that, Aaron?
No. I won't stand in line. But,
do you pay? Hold on, girl. Don't go. Do you pay somebody to stand in line, Aaron?
I have never. No.
Have you ever had an illegal immigrant stand in line, Aaron?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure of all that.
Absolutely not. Never. No. But Apple Watch, when that came out, it was interesting because that was something that I thought would. It was actually the first watch that, and also as a personal trainer, I was looking for a watch that would, you know, correctly and consistently be able to, you can regulate your heart rate.
So can I assume you have one of those, Erin?
Well, I have it.
And you have the Apple Watch, right? Sally, do you have one?
I don't do eyes.
Eyes?
I don't do iPhones, iPads.
Anything. Oh, that's right. You're an Android nut job. Okay, got it.
So it's a cult.
It's a cult. I see. How about maybe it works better than Windows?
It doesn't.
It does. I'm telling you, girl. I got to get you to the. I'm going. You know, before we sing our final song, I'm going to get you over to the Apple Tech. I'm going to get you a real Mac someday, really, or an iPhone, an i something, Sally.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you something, and I'm going to deliver it to your place wherever you are in the world, and I'm going to give that to you and show you how to use it. Okay. Okay, one day. That's a promise I make here, yeah. So I will say this. You know, the problem I have with the Apple Watches or the iWatches or whatever they call that thing, Aaron, is this. The reason I would never wear one is because I don't like things that everybody else has. And to me, it was too common looking, too common of an item. And because it was on your body, it's a fashion statement, and I'm kind of a fashion kind of guy. I know you find that hard to believe, some of you out there, but I actually, you know, I like to look hip and unique and, you know, like I am, like Mr. Out Loud should be. And so I don't like a lot of this stuff that, like, you walk in, everybody's got an Apple. I would feel very wrong and I would feel very violated if I was in a line with 100 other people and 90 of those all had a watch that looked like mine.
Well, that's true.
You see? That's why I didn't buy that. That's why I wouldn't buy that, and that's why I don't wear that stuff. So, now a phone I can put in my back pocket. I don't care about that crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I say you got to embrace some of this, friends. You got to embrace some of this. You do it with a little bit of cautionary sometimes. Like you say, you don't have to be the first in line and be like me. I don't spend a crazy amount of money. I'm too cheap for that. I'm not going to do that. I kind of wait and get it a little bit less on the backslide. But, you know, you can still be kind of hip and cool and, you know, talk like you've got it all. But, you know, maybe you don't have the latest iWatch or the latest iBrain or the latest iHeart or whatever it is they're selling. You know, they're going to sell that someday. Apple's going to have, you know, you're going to be able to go into the Walmart and get the iHeart. Well, I need a new heart, honey. I'm going to go to the Mart store and get the iHeart or the E, you know, or the eBrain or the E something. You know, that's all coming. You're just going to be able to buy the stuff off the shelf, get your DNA, put your fingers in. They're going to, it's all going to be, you know, computerized. And there's so much to this thing with your cells. I did a show very interestingly with a gentleman that was brilliant in cell development just recently, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. He's a Nobel Prize nominee, Goosey Prize winner, amazing dude. And he talked about all this on a new production, a new show I'm doing that we're just rolling out called On the Brink. It's just coming out. We're in the soft launches of it now. But this is showcasing some of the coolest people that have persevered all over the planet, by the way. Really cool stuff. I love this stuff. So that's kind of a new gig I'm doing. Be looking for that on America Out Loud very shortly. Haven't talked much about it yet because it's not really out there yet. But it's coming, I promise you. And a whole lot of other things are exciting and coming down the pike here on America Out Loud. Stay close to us, will you please? Stay close as we got some new developments coming and I want you to know about these firsthand and be part of it. We do a newsletter about every month or so, once a month. We don't send it out a lot. I don't like those annoying emails either. But you'll find a sign up for that on the page there on America Out Loud. I think it's on somewhere it's on the site. You'll find it. When you click on a post, I think it's on the sidebar there or something. You can sign up for that. Or just send me your email with a personal note of some sort to talk@AmericaOutloud.com. I'll be sure you get on there, I promise you that. And if you have some other thoughts or ideas about this show, and also we are looking for the next set of 10 extraordinary women around the globe who'll be part of season 2, please let us know who that might be. If you know someone in your world that is just, you know, all of that in a bag of candy, please let us know that as well, okay? Again, thanks for being here today with us, my friends. Sally Fernandez, Aaron Morgart. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.